Welcome to the Christ Fellowship Podcast. Guys, this is Derek. I've got a question for you. Have you ever felt stuck? Have you ever felt like you have no options? You're not sure how to move forward? Well, being resilient, a big part of that is learning how to navigate when you feel stuck, when you feel like you're powerless, when you feel like you don't have any options. And so today we're going to look at the scriptures and we're going to take a look at a God who knows no limitations, a God who always has options. And if he has options, he has options for you. So let's grab your Bible, grab your notes. Let's dig in. Hey, let me just ask a quick question. How many of you have ever experienced God turning something that looked really bad into something good? Anybody in here? Just look around real quick. Look around. This is who God is, right? He's the God who takes what we feel like is death and he gives it life. This is Jesus, by the way. The one who we thought was dead in a grave and then the Spirit of God breathed into him and raised him to life. The one who takes a grave and he makes a garden. The one who we just sang about, who takes dead bones and makes them an army. This is the God that we're talking about today. This is the God that we're here today to not just listen to somebody speak on a stage, but a God that we want to encounter and experience today. So why don't you just join me in prayer before we get into the scriptures. Lord, I thank you that the songs that we sang are so true, that you're the God of the miracle, that you still do incredible things, that you do things that we don't think are possible, yet with you, all things are possible. Lord, thank you that you allow there to be and you make rivers in the deserts. Lord, thank you that with you, a grave can become a place of growth and life, a garden that yields much fruit, bears much. Lord, I thank you, that's the kind of God you are. That's the model that we see in Christ Jesus. That's the life that you've called us to live. And so I bless every single person in this room to believe that, to not just to hear these words today, but for it to down deep penetrate their hearts and their minds, that you would shift our thinking, that you would shift the way we see the situations that we're in. And Lord, we ask is that we open up your scriptures, that the truth where Jesus says, if you abide in my word, that you will know the truth and the truth will set you free, Lord. Where we want to be a people that abide in the written word and the voice of the Father through the Spirit of God. We want to be a people that are rooted and anchored in your truth, so much so that we are set free at higher and higher levels. So today, Lord, I pray that we would become a freer people than when we walked in here. Not because of anything I'm gonna say or because of any song, but because you said, if we abide in your word, we will know the truth and the truth will set us free. So lead us into deep truth today. May we be honest today. Form us into the image of Christ as a community. We ask this for the renown of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And everybody said, amen. Hey, welcome somebody beside you. We haven't done this in a while. Just say hello before you sit down. I know it's a little hard, but go ahead and say hi to somebody. There we go. Hey, for many of us, at least Kingsport City Schools are out. Anybody excited about that? Yes, and I want to take just a quick second. We're talking about resiliency. We've been in this series, and I don't know about you, but I don't know if there's not many more resilient people in our community than our teachers. Can somebody say amen to that? If you're a teacher, can you just pop up to your feet? If you're in administration and education, anything, will you just pop up to your feet? I wasn't planning on doing this, but just pop up real quick. I know we got quite a few. Can we honor these men and women? Thank you. Yeah, we bless you right now. Literally, Lord, we bless you to have a great summer, a restful summer. Know how much God loves you. Thank you for all you do for our kids. I even heard that at DB's graduation, that was just a couple of nights ago, the common theme that many of the kids and speakers talked about was resiliency. You know, this graduating class, Jody was telling me, she's got a son that graduated. She said that this graduating class was freshmen during the pandemic when everything kind of went crazy. And they had to navigate a lot of just crazy things. And the teachers, God bless you guys, you've navigated some crazy, crazy, crazy things, right? And lots of ups and downs, lots of wild things going on. And just educators, I just commend you for your work. And literally, you guys have given our community a picture of what it looks like to be resilient. And I'm grateful for that. And so today, we're going to continue talking about resiliency. We've been talking about this for a while. My wife last week, I thought, brought an incredible truth about wrestle. How do we wrestle? How do we stay resilient in the midst of wrestling with doubt, in the midst of wrestling with fears or vices? And that one line that she said, it stuck with me all week. She said, "You're going to serve me before you what? Leave me." You're gonna serve me doubt. You're gonna serve me vice, fear. You're gonna serve me before you leave me. I'm gonna wring everything out about this experience so that I can actually ascend and be better on the other side of this adversity, of this struggle, of this conflict. Great word. And so today I wanna continue talking about resiliency, and we're gonna finish up the series next week and before we head into the summer and our summer series. But today I wanna talk about specifically, I want to talk about perspective. Perspective. Specifically, perspective when it comes to resiliency. Resiliency, once again, we've talked about this now for several weeks, is the ability to navigate and recover after a difficult or adverse experience. Like, life happens. We all know that. Like, Jesus said, hey, take heart. Like, trouble will come your way. Thankfully, he said, I've already overcome the world. So take heart, have peace, have joy. But there's gonna be things in our lives that happen. If you've lived very long, you know that not everything is perfect, that things that are in our control and some things out of our control happen to us. And in those moments, if you're not resilient, you'll kind of succumb to it and you'll just be like, oh, woe is me. It is what it is. Isn't that a terrible saying? But we say it all the time, don't we? It is what it is until it isn't. Come on now, somebody preach that, right? It is what it is until it isn't. Oh. So resiliency. And specifically though, today I want to talk about perspective because I believe that perspective greatly impacts resiliency. How we see a situation, how we see another person, how we see ourselves, it has immense impact on our ability to navigate difficulty, to go through difficulty and actually come out on the other side better or stronger or more wise. And so to help us understand this, I asked our team to come up with a picture that would help us do this. And so, yeah, we have a picture here. Now, this is not my car, but we all know what that little tree is. That's the little royal pine smell that we've all had since high school. Mostly at high school, we put a lot of those in our cars. I don't know why, because we smelled pretty bad, I guess. But if you have one in your car, I'm not judging you. But this little tree. And then behind that is the building that you and I are in. Now, from this perspective, I'll move so everybody can see it. From this perspective, which one looks a little bigger? The little teeny tree looks a lot bigger than the building that you and I are in. This is one perspective, isn't it? And let me ask you this. This is really challenging. Is this perspective true? It actually is true because the person sitting in this car looking there sees this itty bitty little tree that's, I don't know, 4 or 5 inches. And in their perspective, it looks much bigger than the building that you and I are sitting in. Do you see the power of perspective? And some of us, we have things that are going on in our life. We have challenges, maybe a challenging situation, maybe a relationship, maybe a financial, maybe a child, maybe a work thing that appears to be massive. And it's what we focus on, it's what we see, and from that perspective, it's really easy for us to say, it is what it is. I can't do anything about it. I'm stuck. And so today, what I wanna do is I wanna talk about times in our life where this is a picture of how we see a problem, how we see an obstacle, and how do we become more resilient in the face of feeling stuck. Has anybody else besides me ever felt stuck before? Anybody else? Anybody ever besides me, just help me preach a little better. Anybody else ever felt like there are no options going forward? Anybody else ever felt like that before? Yeah, we've all felt like that. So what do we do about that? Like, it's a common thing. Many people in this room, you feel like there's no options. You feel like the situation in my life, like there's no path forward. I feel like I've got no power, like I can't do anything. So what do we do in the midst of that? Thankfully, the scripture are filled with men and women who have navigated this exact same thing. That's why I love the Bible so much. It's real life, real people teaching us how to be real life, real people that are with God, abiding with him. And so I would love for you to grab your Bible. I'm gonna start out in Exodus chapter 14. We're gonna look at two different examples in Exodus of people that have found themselves up against the wall, up against a dead end, feeling like there's no hope, there's no way forward, there's no options, okay? Exodus chapter 14. Now this is the story, a part of the story of the Exodus where the Israelites were held in slavery to the Egyptians around 400 years. It's all these generation had known was slavery, slavery, slavery. Work for the person, try to get done, get the work done, produce, produce, produce. Keep your head down, don't get caught, don't do something stupid, and let's just hope this thing continues on. Maybe some of us feel that way today, right? A little different. But there's a lot of parallels here, all right? So this is what happened. So God has now taken them through Moses's leadership. He's led them out of Egypt. All the signs and wonders have happened, and then they've left, and then the Egyptians, they funded the Exodus. They actually gave them gold. They gave them money, and so they're leaving out. They're now walking in the wilderness. They're headed to the what? Where are they headed? What's the goal? The what is it? The promised land. So they're headed to the promised land. This is the promise of God. I will take you. I want to give you the promised land. I just got you out of Egypt, out of slavery. Now we're headed to the promised land. And look what happened in chapter 14, picking up in verse 10. So now they're up against, they're at the Red Sea. They're there, and this is what's happening. It says, when Pharaoh drew near, so Pharaoh changed his mind. He's like, why did we let them go? That was a dumb decision. Let's go get them, all right? So he says, Pharaoh drew near, and the people of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them. And they feared greatly. If you ever under your Bible, I would encourage you, underline that. They feared greatly. We undervalue the impact of fear in our lives so much. It says they feared greatly. And the people of Israel cried out to the Lord. And they said to Moses, is it because there are no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness? What have you done to us in bringing us out of Egypt? Is not this what we said to you in Egypt? Leave us alone that we may serve the Egyptians, for it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness. Man, doesn't that sound like how we talk to God sometimes? See, when we feel stuck, when we feel like, man, there are no options. All I have is this thing coming after me, this challenge, this struggle. All I have is this. When I feel like I have nowhere to go, there's no path forward. This is oftentimes what we look like is the Israelites. And we judge them, we look at them, but listen, this is a mirror for us, by the way. The Israelites are just like you and me. Let's not point the finger today. Let's actually allow the finger to be pointed back and say, man, when I get up against a roadblock, when I don't see any options, this is how I get. And here's how you know if you're in the place like the Israelites. Number one, you complain. Oh, we are so good at this. When we don't see an option, when we feel like we are stuck, what do? We usually complain, and usually not in the right direction. It's not a vertical complaint. What is it? A horizontal complaint, also known as gossip sometimes, slander, tell other people why I am in the situation because of them. All kinds of things happen, but we complain. And this is what they say, man, why are we out here? Look what's happening to us. We are going to die. They're complaining. Second thing that happens when we're up against a roadblock, we see no options, is we tend to focus on the problem or the obstacle. In this situation, the Israelites are feeling stuck. They're up against the Red Sea. And what do? They look backwards and they see the Egyptian army coming at them, and all they can do is focus on the army. That's all their thoughts are. They're all consumed with the thing that they see as negative. How many of you have been there before? Isn't it so easy for us? We get so consumed. We talk about the thing. We think about the thing. That's all we are. And we get consumed by the obstacle, the challenge. The third thing that happens is we future trip. The Israelites, they're already projecting what's gonna happen, that they're gonna be killed. They're gonna have graves in the wilderness. And let me just tell you what a future trip is, because many of us, we navigate and we land in this future. A future trip is when I try to project what's gonna happen in the future without considering that God will also be in the future. So a future trip is like, it's not wrong to think forward, but when I think forward, think about what could be, when I leave out of the equation God, listen, it gets really scary. How many of you know it's really scary if I think about the future and God's not there? But this is what they're doing. They're thinking about, we're gonna be dead out in the wilderness. You know what I'd rather do? I'd rather just go back to Egypt and be a slave. Oh, man. So pick it up in verse 13. It says, and Moses said to the people, fear not. There it goes, it's great fear. The leader says, fear not. Doesn't that sound like Jesus? Fear not. Why are you afraid? That's the question, right? It says, fear not, stand firm, and see the salvation of the Lord. Somebody's thinking differently about this situation, isn't he? Which he will work for you today, for the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall never see again. Wow. The Lord will fight for you, and you only have to be silent. Verse 15. The Lord said to Moses, why do you cry to me? Tell the people of Israel to go forward. Isn't that incredible? The people that are saying, oh, woe is me. I'd rather go back to Egypt to be a slave. This is what the Lord says to them. Go forward. I think that's a word for somebody today. I feel stuck. I feel like there's no options, Lord. I feel like I'm, and the Lord's saying, go forward. Go forward. You know what to do. Go forward. Lift up your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it that the people of Israel may go through the sea on dry ground. Isn't that incredible? Like, we read this and we've seen it because it's been on, you know, ABC, NBC, CBS, one of those shows, Charlton Heston, you know, we kind of get numb to it, right? Like, that's Hollywood. No, this really happened. These are real people experiencing God in real ways. And they're feeling like there's no way out, and they're complaining, and they're future tripping, and they're consumed with the enemy. And God's like, Moses, get their heads up on me. Get their eyes up on me. This is what the Lord says to Moses. I'm gonna show them that there is a way forward. And I think that's a word for some people in this room today. Listen, you feel like you're stuck. You feel like you're up against a roadblock. Your back is against the sea, and there's an army coming. And I just want to tell you today, maybe the only reason you came today is to hear there is a path forward. There is always a path forward. And we see this a little bit later, the same group of people, if we go to chapter 16, the same group of people, like, look, the Lord opened it up. They walked on dry land. I love this, like, picture of this, like, they just walked across this dry land, and then the army came in, and the waves crashed down, and so they've seen the provision. Now, salvation of the Lord, they've seen it, they've heard it, and then they get out there, and they're like, we're kind of hungry. They're a little hangry. Anybody ever been hangry before? They're like, man, like, we've seen what you've done, Lord, but man, I'm hungry. And when I get hungry, I don't make the best decisions. And I oftentimes complain, come on, right? And so look what happens, chapter 16, verse 2. It says, and the whole congregation of the people of Israel grumbled against Moses. They were hungry, Moses and Aaron, in the wilderness. And the people of Israel said to them, would that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt. Oh. When we sat by the meat pots and ate bread to the full, for you have brought us out into the wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. And they'd seen the 10 powerful signs. They literally walked across dry ground as the wall of the Red Sea was on both sides of them. And they find themselves here complaining that God's not gonna give them food. Listen, once again, we can point fingers or we can make it look like a mirror. Wow, I do that all the time. God, you've been so faithful, and I so easily forget. Isn't it incredible how quickly we forget how God has moved in our life? It's partly why we need to write things down. It's partly why we need to go back to remember what God has done so we can remember who God is in the present. And so they're complaining again. They're future tripping. Man, we're gonna be dead out here in the wilderness, and look what happened. It says verse 4, then the Lord said to Moses, behold, I'm about to rain bread. That's a creative thought. I'm gonna rain bread. Now, keto hadn't become a thing yet, so this was okay, right? I'm gonna rain carbs down on you from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day that I may test them. Here's what I want you to know, is that an unlimited God has unlimited options. An unlimited God, a God who knows no bounds, a God who is not limited or constricted in any way, his options are never limited for himself, but also that means for you in your life.
I'm not sure I...
You better agree with me. Don't say that. See? Get behind me, Satan. Look out. It is an apple. No, just shrugging. Just shrugging. I want you to know that you can't paint God into a corner. You can't strip away possibilities from God. Let me just say this. You can't out-sin, out-separate God to give him no options in your life. With God, there are always options. There's always path forward. And these scriptures, this entire book shows us that. Just think about all the different options. You feel like you're up against the wall. Just look at the scriptures and say, like, where's a scenario where somebody felt like there were no options? Then God shows up and like, wow, I didn't think that was possible. Sort of like bread falling down in the morning they could pick up. Think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Man, up against the wall. Bow down to the statue. No, we're not going to bow down. Okay, we're going to throw you into the fiery furnace. They're like, okay, and even if God doesn't save me, we'll still worship him. We'll go through it. They step in. It looks like a dead end. Guess who shows up? A fourth man in the fire, the angel of the Lord, who most of us believe is Jesus. And guess what? They step out of the fiery furnace, and their hair isn't even singed. Guess what? That's a God that has options. Throw Daniel in the lion's den. Okay, good. Guess what? Lions aren't hungry today. Another option. Wow. Or think about Elijah. Man, he's really hungry. Another story about hunger in the Bible. It's actually all throughout the Bible, people that are hungry. He's hungry, no prospects of food. So what are we gonna do? Oh, I'm gonna be out here and die. You know what? No, you know what, God? God says, I'm gonna send a bird to bring you food twice a day. Pew, I spit all over you guys, sorry. Outside the box, a different option, right? Elijah was like, well, okay, I'm out here to die. And he's like, no, I'm gonna bring you food through a raven. Think about Peter, he's in prison. Okay, I guess I'm gonna be here all night. Angel comes in, wake up, breaks off his chains, walks him out of the prison. Wow, that's an option I didn't consider. Or think about Peter, he's like, I gotta pay my taxes. I know you've never been there before. I don't know how I'm gonna pay these taxes. And this is what Jesus said. Like, he didn't say, hey, go get another job. Hey, go do this, which could have been it. But like, he's like, I don't know what to do about this. And Jesus says, why don't you go fishing? Somebody say amen to that story, right? He's like, this is what's gonna happen, Peter, when you go and you cast out, I don't think they used a rod, whatever they used, I don't know what they had, bamboo, I don't know. He said, when you bring that fish in, it's gonna have a coin in its mouth and it's gonna be sufficient for what you need. Isn't that creative? Like, we so want to limit God. Or think about feeding the 5,000. Like, we know these stories. We've seen them on felt boards growing up. We've heard stories like feeding the 5,000. That was men, probably more women and children there. And Jesus says, hey, they're hungry. And they're like, yeah, we can't feed them. And Jesus is like, no, you go feed them. You know why? Because Jesus thought they really could feed them. They could figure it out. They come back and like, Jesus, we can't figure it out. And Jesus is like, okay, what do you have? Well, not enough. How many of us have said that? I don't have enough. Jesus is like, what do you have? Well, we have a couple loaves of bread and some fish. Perfect. Give me the Lunchable. What are you going to do with it? I'm going to pray. I'm going to bless it. And I'm going to give it to you. and you're gonna go out and you're gonna distribute enough food from this little bit to the whole crew. That's not possible. Oh, it isn't? It is what it is until it what? Isn't. I want you to remember that today. This is how God operates. He's a God who knows no impossibilities. What if there were more than one way for you to make a living? What if there was more than one way for you to partner with God to see your marriage restored? What if there were more than one way for you to go to college or to go get educated, to go get a trade school? What if the limitations we put on God are not God's limitations, but our limitations? What would change? See, what I believe about perspective is that our perspective that sees no option is not aligned with God. And I say that lovingly because I know probably quite a few of us in this room and watching online today, in some area of your life, you feel like you have no options. Your back is up against the Red Sea. There's an army coming. I've got no options. I don't know how to do this thing. I feel stuck. I feel like I've got nowhere to go. And I just want you to know this lovingly. If you're in a situation where you feel like you have no options, your thoughts are not aligned with God's thoughts. And this is what Jesus is trying to teach his disciples when he's walking with them on the earth. He's trying to teach them to see beyond the obvious and to think beyond the obstacle. He's always trying to get them to have this abundant mentality when it comes to situations, when it comes to problems, to think like, okay, where's the solution in this scenario versus I just know the problem. This is what Jesus, like the practical teachings and the practical modeling that Jesus has for us. See, resilient people, that they face problems and obstacles, but they believe there is a path forward even if they don't know it yet. It's the mark of a resilient person is they believe there is a path forward. There's a way to get through whatever they're going through. And that's actually what we see in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We see this incredible little verse tucked in here that I think is so profound. And it's really a resilient verse. It's a verse that stirs us to resiliency. So this is, it's on the screen here. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. This is Paul writing to a church. Corinth, a people, the people of God, and he says this, no temptation is overtaking you that is not common to man. So here's the good news today for all of us in the room. If you're being tempted, guess what? You are experiencing what it means to be a human. Now this word temptation, as I was laying down at bed last night, I was just thinking through the notes and I felt like the Lord said, like, go look at that word temptation. What is the original language? And that word temptation, we think of it mostly like, you know, a sin as in like, I'm tempted to look at this on the internet, or I'm tempted to drink, or I'm tempted to drugs, or I'm tempted to lie. All those I think are under the umbrella, but that word's a much bigger word. It means trial. It means adversity. It means mindset. So no trial, no adversity, no lie has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful. Somebody say amen to that. God is faithful, even when we're not. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted, there it is, beyond your ability. That's profound. And then it says, but the temptation, the trial, the adversity, the mindset, the sin, whatever it is, he will also provide a way to escape, a way out, that you may be able to what? Endure it. That's called resiliency. So hear me again. I know, once again, we got a cross-section of people, different ages, different backgrounds, different experiences in life. Listen, if you are navigating temptation, you are human being. You are a human being. And here's the good news. God says that he doesn't allow you to be tempted, tried, have adversity, trouble. He doesn't allow that to be more than you actually can handle. Do you know that? That's what the scriptures say, more than your ability. And he says, but with that temptation, with that trial, with that trouble, with that frustrating moment, with that lie that you're believing, he provides a way out every time. You know what that means? There's no dead end. No matter what situation you're in today, I don't care what it is. I could sit down one by one, hear every one of your situations. I could hear about your struggles in your marriage. I could hear about your addiction. I'm telling you, with God, all things are possible. With God, all things are possible. He is a God who offers options. See, our perspective, though, here's why it's so important. Our perspective that we're talking about, our perspective influences our ability to receive God's path forward. Our perspective influences our ability to receive God's path forward. Can you guys throw that picture up there one more time, if you guys don't mind? So you see, in this situation, like this picture, the tree seems so big compared to the church. And as I was thinking about this picture, I was thinking about Numbers 13. I'm not gonna have you turn there for time's sake, but Numbers 13 is when Moses sends out the 12 spies to go into the promised land. He wants to test it out. What's the promised land like, this place that God's sent them to? And he sends out the 12 and they come back and they're like, wow, it is an amazing land. It flows with milk and honey. Look at the fruit. It's incredible. Like strawberries as big as your head. Like it's so, so stinking amazing. But 10 of the 12 say, but there's some giants in the land. And they are really, really strong. And I don't think we can go in there. Caleb and Joshua, they come in and says, but Caleb, he quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and occupy the land, for we are able to overcome it. Then the men who had gone up with him had said, we are not able to go up against the land or against the people, for they are stronger than we are. So they brought the people of Israel a bad report of the land that they had spied out, saying, the land that through which we have gone to spy it out is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people that we saw in it are of great height. And there we saw the Nephilim. And we seemed to ourselves like grasshoppers, and so we seemed to them. See, this picture here is really what the spies were seeing. Like that little tree there was like, they saw these giants, and he's like, these people, they were really tall and they were strong, and man, we were so overwhelmed. And so because they were so infatuated, they didn't think about the size of their God. See, their perspective of the promised land went through the obstacle and the problem. All their focus was on that, and they weren't thinking about the God who said, I'm gonna carry you into the promised land. Go, because we surely can take it. They were so consumed with what they couldn't do or their lack. And ultimately, it prevented them from experiencing the abundance of God. And so today, maybe that resonates with you. Maybe today, you find yourself so infatuated with what you don't have that you're missing out on the God who has everything. Maybe today, you're so infatuated by the problem that you're missing out on the one who is the solution. Maybe today your focus is so much on the obstacle that you're unable to receive the one who is called the way. See, our perspective, it matters greatly to how resilient we're gonna be. How we see ourselves, how we see our situation, how we see God, it greatly impacts us. And so today I wanna close by just giving some practical things that we can do to shift our perspective. Four things, so here it is. If you wanna take notes, I think we're gonna have the screen as well. If you wanna take a picture when they're all up there. But if we're gonna shift our perspective, here's practical ways to do this, not rocket science, but sometimes we just need to be reminded of the simplicity of following Jesus. Number one, shift your perspective. Number one, pause. Disrupt your current perspective. I don't know about you, but like when I begin to get fearful and when I begin to get captivated by a problem or an issue or an object, what happens is I get so consumed with it, my mind runs really, 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 really fast. Anybody else like that? Like, and so we run really, really fast and we have no ability in that moment to think differently than the path that we're on. And so we get in this cycle of fear, 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 future trip without God, fear, 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 complain, 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 fear, fear, fear. And so sometimes, honestly, the first step for most of us in the room is time out. That's why coaches do it. What do they do? Momentum's going in the opposite direction. Hey, give me a timeout. Why? Because they need to pause to change their mindset, shift things up a little bit. And so that pause could look different for every one of us. It may mean taking a walk on our trail at the church. It may mean going to get a workout in. It may mean stopping the conversation at work and saying, hey, I just need to take a moment. You go to your office, you get before the Lord, and you ask for his perspective in the situation. It may mean, pausing could mean talking to somebody outside of your current group of people. Pause. Disrupt the perspective. The second thing that we see in the scriptures is to acknowledge your current perspective and the negative emotion that comes with it. It's what Kate was talking about last week. Face your fear, face your struggle, face your doubt. Acknowledge it, tell the truth. Tell the truth to God. He already knows it, but tell the truth to God. And thankfully, we have so many models of this in the scripture. David, the psalmist, many times, he's just telling God, here's my perspective. I feel like you've left me. I feel like I'm all alone out here. I feel like it's all on me to do. Tell the truth. And I would say, actually, one of the greatest acts of worship that you and I can do is to tell God the truth. We could sing up here all day, but to tell God the truth is, I think, a beautiful act of worship because it's an expression that, God, I trust you. I trust you. Even with the darkest part of my life, even the struggle that I have, the perspective that I have that is true, but it may not be truth, that expression of truth is a beautiful act of worship. So acknowledge the current perspective, the negative emotion. The third piece, ask God for heaven's wisdom. Ask God for creativity and insight into your situation. Here's what we ask the Lord all the time here. God, what do you want me to know? God, what do you want me to know about the situation? What do you want me to know about the person that is the situation? What do you want me to know about myself? What do you want me to know, God? I need to know your thoughts. That's why James says, man, if you lack wisdom, admit it. And do what? Sit there and worry about it? No, ask God and he will give so much and with no strings attached. Ask him for wisdom. It's one of the things that we're actually exhorted to ask God for is wisdom, insight, revelation, creativity. And what I love about God is that he gives us everything we need. I love this. We see time and time in the scriptures that you and I have the mind of Christ. Mind of Christ. Guess what? If we have the mind of Christ, that means we can begin to see from God's perspective everything. Isaiah 55, it's one of my favorite chapters in the whole Bible. Time and time again, the Lord is telling Isaiah, come to me. Turn your ear towards me. Listen diligently. Here's why I want you to listen to me, Isaiah, because my ways are higher than your ways and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. God wants to actually give us his ways and his thoughts. Does anybody else believe that? You have the mind of Christ. Ask him. Oftentimes we don't have because we what? We don't ask. Ask for wisdom, ask for insight. When you recognize, wow, I'm in a situation where I feel like I'm stuck. I find myself complaining. I find myself future tripping and obsessed with the problem. Pause, time out, shift things up. Tell the Lord the truth. God, here's what it is. I feel like I'm all alone. I feel like without this job, I can't provide for my family. Here's the truth. And then I say, Lord, give me a creative thought. Give me wisdom from heaven. And then when I sit with the Lord, as I receive this shift in perspective, here's the last thing. And this is sometimes the hardest thing for us to do because all the other things we've talked about are pretty like, okay, I could do that. The last one is probably the most challenging, and that's to step in faith to obey what you sense God communicating. James says, be a doer and not just a what? A hearer. Listen, we love the voice of God at this church. We love helping people come aware of God's voice that's speaking to us. But God's voice, apart from obedience, doesn't lead to life. So in a situation, we're asking the Lord's wisdom. The scripture says, don't be double-minded. Double-minded just simply means I'm asking God for your wisdom, but I'm not gonna actually listen to it. God, I wanna know your perspective, but I'm kinda just gonna hold on to mine. That's what double-minded means. It says, don't be like that. Don't be, when you ask God for his wisdom, when you ask God for a way or an option, don't just hear him, but actually come into agreement with him. So this morning, I wanna close by just leading us into a moment where we live these out, these four things. I think we have them on the screen here. Yeah, sorry, there's a lot of words there, but that's my bad. So why don't you just close your eyes? We're gonna close out the service this way. I just wanna give space. We're gonna live out the first one. We're gonna pause. So Lord, we take a deep breath. Why don't you even just taking a deep breath sometimes helps us to shift perspective. So many times in our life, we're just busy all the time. We're on our phones, cycling through. Any moment of just downtime, we're trying to fill it. And I just wanna encourage you, those downtimes are some of the most revelatory times in our life where we can encounter God and have his thoughts and his ways. So maybe this week you just take a really purposed approach just to say, in the middle of the day, I'm gonna pause and I'm gonna ask God his perspective. And so Lord, right now this morning, we just pause and we rest and we let it just slow it down. Lord, would you bring to mind any area of our life where we feel like we're stuck, where we feel like we have no options, where there's not a way or a path forward? Would you just bring that to mind, Lord? Let's just do what the second thing I said. Let's just tell the Lord the truth. If you have a situation in your life where like there's no options, it's over. It is what it is. If you feel like that in any area of your life, why don't you just tell the Lord the truth? Lord, here it is. I feel stuck financially, relationally, spiritually. Tell the Lord the truth. And I've been praying about step three, and that's simply to ask the Lord for wisdom, to ask him for his creativity. And I've been praying that even as we just take this moment that's really practically living out what it means to walk with God, that there would be some fresh ideas and there'd be some hope as we think about, wow, there is other options here with the Lord. And so Lord, as we're thinking about these things, as we're setting them before you, would you give us a creative thought about how we can move forward, how we could step with you? Would you give us wisdom, Lord, as we think about these things? And the last one, step four, we can't do here, but you can as you leave this place. And so, Lord, I do bless our community, that we would continually shift our perspective to your perspective, that we would hear from heaven, that we would lean into your scripture's truth, that we would recognize that you're the God of possibilities, that you're a limitless God with limitless opportunities and options, that we would live from that kind of abundance and not a scarcity, I'm stuck, there's no way out. Lord, thank you that your word says that in every situation where temptation is, where trial, where trouble, where adversity is, that you give a path forward, that you give a means to escape. So Lord, may we be a people that believe you today. For those that have sensed creative thoughts and ways and wisdom, Lord, I pray that they would not just be hearers of your word, not just be ones that envision what you could do, but actually be doers, that they would step in faith today, whatever that looks like. So we honor you today in this house, Lord, and we pray that we continue to abide and walk with you. As we go to work this week, as we lead our families, as we enjoy things this week, may we recognize that you are with us. Amen. We're gonna have our ministry team up here as we close out today. If you're somebody who maybe was like, man, this was for me today, and you're like, man, I would like to talk to somebody about this situation that I find myself in, that seems like there's no way out, we would love to talk with you. If you feel like there's something in your body that you're like, man, I'm struggling with this pain, or I'm struggling with this affliction, we also believe that God still heals today, and we would love to pray with you. If you need anything actually at all, we would love to pray with you. We believe there's power in it, right? There's power in prayer when we come together. So we love you guys. Man, have a great day. Come down and get some prayer. We'd love to connect with you. Mm-hmm.